listen to the Tommy Schnurmecker Show live weekdays 9 to noon on CJAD 800 and CJAD.com.
Joining me now, Kath Apollett, an award-winning essayist, author of a new book, Pro, Reclaiming Abortion Rights, and Andrea Mrozek, the executive director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. We welcome both to the show. Kath, I'll start with you. Why did you decide to write this book? What did you want to say with this?
Well, I decided to write this book because restrictions on abortion have been ratcheting up in the United States a lot since Republicans did so well in the 2010 election. There have been 205 new restrictions passed, everything from restrictions that have closed down clinics in Texas. Maybe your listeners have read about that. A 72-hour waiting period on Missouri's single abortion clinic, and Missouri is a big populous state. And I thought that the pro-choice side has become too defensive. We're always playing catch-up with the abortion opponents, and I wanted to make a positive case for abortion rights instead of a negative case.
You called abortion a social good. What did you mean by that?
Well, what I meant by that is if you flip the whole thing and you say, look, what makes for a good society? What makes for a good society is children are born when their parents can take care of them well. And this cannot happen if people are having children in a bad place, which is why they have an abortion. They have an abortion because they can't take care of that child well. And we also want a society in which women can realize all the possibilities that are in them, where they can get an education, where they can get a good job, where they don't have to be tied to an abusive partner because they had a baby with that partner, and so on and so forth. So that, all the social democratic countries that we admire so much, including Canada, abortion is legal because this is understood.
What's your response to that, Andrea, to what you've heard so far?
Right. Well, first of all, I'd want to start by apologizing to the women who are listening who had abortions for this sort of dispassionate academic type debate. It isn't that to many women. And we can write books about this, but at the end of the day, it's not the pro-life movement that is making this an issue of some regret and anxiety for women. It's the fact that abortion takes a life, and women are aware of that. Kath has spoken of a couple of myths. The biggest one, of course, is that children are only cared for when parents know exactly when they want to have them and can choose when they're going to have them. The vast majority of children around us today, many of us on this call, were unplanned. It's impossible to plan to that degree. And so we have a situation where we want to encourage women to be in healthy relationships and have all those opportunities, but at the same time, not deny what abortion is, what it does, and why it is a source of pain and anxiety, not just for women, but for men and families as well. So lots of myths to bust there in what Katha has talked about, but this is above all not a dispassionate issue, as you mentioned, opening up, and it never will be. That's not the fault of pro-life activists. That's the nature of the issue and what's at stake here.
What would you say, Katha, to that? This, what we just heard, that abortion is a source of pain and anxiety for many women.
Well, for some women it is. For some women it is. People make mistakes in life, and people regret some of their choices. But most women, study after study has shown, do not regret it. Do not spend, the rest of their lives mourning their lost opportunity to have that baby. They have other babies. Most women in America who have abortions are already mothers, which is an interesting thing. They're having an abortion because they have all the kids they can handle. And abortion is connected with poverty, which maybe in Canada it's different. I think, you do a little more for mothers there, but in this country very little is done. But, the fact that some people feel regret is not a reason to ban something for everyone.
Well, in Canada, they're not banned at all. There's no abortion law at all. This texter wants to know, and either one of you can answer. Actually, I'd like both of you to answer this question. Are you against aborting fetuses based upon gender selection? If it's a woman's right to choose, can she choose? She already has two girls. She doesn't want a third one. She knows it's a boy to have an abortion. How do you feel about that?
Are you asking me?
Katha.
Well, I think, you know, there are certainly countries where sex selection is, you know, has had terrible, terrible consequences in India, in China, and, you know, some other countries. And this is really bad for all kinds of reasons. It's bad for women's equality, and it's bad demographically, because then you have all these men who can't get married, then all kinds of bad things.
But isn't
happen.
That a reason? Would you
fortunately,
ban?
Fortunately, in this country, this is a little bit of a red herring, because it's, you know, it's just incredibly vanishingly rare, and I think that it's one of the ways that the anti-abortion movement tries to smuggle into the American discussion, you know, practices that are virtually unheard of here.
Andrea.
Well, it's one of the ways in which the pro-life movement attempts to smuggle some rational thought into the abortion debate. Obviously, when you take the life of an unborn child, it's either a boy or a girl. So taking the lives of girls because they're girls is very egregious. It's one of the most egregious abuses we can see in the abortion debate. It is happening in Canada. I wrote a paper and examined it some years ago. Somebody, you know, it's very convenient for people who are pro-choice to say it's not happening here, but they haven't done the demographic analysis of communities where we have high percentages of people coming in from cultures that accept, fully, wholeheartedly accept sex selection abortion, and there's no control over it. So we really can't say to what extent it's happening. My attempt at quantifying it showed it was indeed happening in Canada, and I have no reason to believe it's any different in the United States.
Well, you know, if you don't restrict abortion according to reason, as we don't in the United States. That's not the way the restrictions work, although some people would like it to work that way. Then you can't say, oh, you can have an abortion except for this reason, because you're not asking for a reason. And if they did say, okay, you can't have a sex selection abortion, people would give another reason. I think it's a bad thing. You're right. I agree with that. I think a lot of things are bad that nonetheless are legal, because the what happens when you make them illegal is even worse.
Do you think that abortion is bad? I mean, it's one thing to say it shouldn't be under the purview of the law, but then you can simultaneously also say that it's undesirable, but that doesn't appear to be what you're saying.
No, I don't, because I think the important thing is that that children and women be, you know, have good lives. And, you know, you spoke earlier about, you know, it's interesting, you spoke earlier about unplanned pregnancy. Now, it's very, very true that an unplanned pregnancy is different than an unwanted pregnancy. I was an accident. And, you know, many, many, many born people are accidents. But we're talking about an accident where the woman feels differently. And it's a question of whether do you respect her sense of what her life can take and what her alternatives are or not.
All right, we're going to continue the discussion. Katha Pollitt, Andrea Mrozek, my guest, join the discussion. Text your question or comment to either one of our guests at 514-800. Our guests are Katha Pollitt, an award-winning essayist, author of the new book, Pro, Reclaiming Abortion Rights, and Andrea Mrozek, executive director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. This question, I think, is directed at you, Andrea. This texter saying, I don't agree with anyone telling me what I can do with my life or my body. This choice is personal and should remain so. What would you say to that texter?
It's interesting. There was a condom ad. I'll answer that question directly. But there was a condom ad that came out a while ago and talked about there's no undo button. And it showed a undo button on a computer. The reality is then that I think we got a condom company getting the essence of biology better than many men and women today and better than the average pro-choice activist. So whether or not abortion is legislated, I want to have an honest discussion. Canada is not legislated. USA, basically not. Social democratic countries across the globe that Katha referenced early actually have abortion laws. It is Canada, the USA, and I believe North Korea and that are exempt from this. So abortion remains a legitimate area of legislation, considering at what point the fetus becomes viable, for example. There's a very legitimate discussion to be had there around the life and health of a new unborn person. But whether or not you believe in legislation, we ought to be having an honest conversation about what a pregnancy is, what it means, and what abortion is, which is taking the life of that unborn child. And I, you know, nobody is in Canada and the States telling others what to do, but we're not having an honest discussion about it either.
Katha, what would your response be to that?
Well, I would say that the United States is crammed full of laws about abortion. And what Andrea is referring to is that Roe v. Wade says that in the third trimester, after viability, you can ban abortion. States can ban abortion except to preserve the mother's life and health. And that is, I guess, what she doesn't like about it. But there are just tons of laws regulating abortion, so I don't know what she's talking about there. But I have a question, which is, you know, when abortion is illegal, it still takes place. There are Latin American countries that have a higher rate of abortion than the United States does. For example, Brazil and Peru. And what happens then? What happens then is that women have abortions. They're illegal. They're unsafe. Women die. Women are injured. Some women are arrested. In El Salvador, there are women in prison for having miscarriages that are attributed to the use of the abortion pill, which is illegal. But I always wonder with people who are opposed to abortion, what is the end game here? You win. You ban abortion. People keep having them. Do you then just continue to say, oh, those women suffer regret, they're confused, or what? I mean, doctors have gone to prison in the United States for performing abortions when abortions were illegal.
Certainly respond to that.
Yeah, thanks. I did a study once of the maternal deaths in Canada. I looked at the data, and the declining rate of maternal deaths in pregnancy was going down. Maternal health was vastly improving well prior to the advent of legal abortion in Canada. So what we have is a desire on the part of pro-life people to respect the dignity of women, respect the dignity of the child, and not have a situation where anyone is forced into anything, but to recognize that we've got human life at stake here and that perhaps we can do better than castigating women to an intrusive, invasive surgery that is going to have effects. It is a mythical thing to envision. Whether you abort, adopt, or keep the child, put the child up for adoption or keep the child, these are all tangible outcomes to a pregnancy, and pretending that abortion does away with all of that does a disservice to women.
We're going to continue the discussion. Katha Pollitt, my guest, her book, Reclaiming Abortion Rights, also with us, Executive Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, Andrea Mrozek. Some interesting text. We'll get a reaction when we come back to this text. It says, how come men have no rights on the issue? If the man wants the child, he has no say. If he doesn't want the child, he also doesn't have a say. So men only have responsibility. How is that fair? We'll get a response from both of our guests after this. What is really going on at the Jewish General Hospital? We're going to get to that in about 15 minutes from now. Right now, our conversation with Andrea Mrozek, she's the Executive Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, and Katha Pollitt, an award-winning essayist. Her new book is called Pro, Reclaiming Abortion Rights. We got that text before. It said, how come men have no rights on the issue? If a man wants a child, he has no say. If he doesn't want the child, he also has no say. So men only have responsibility. How is that fair? Andrea, I'll address that first to you.
Well, it's not fair, obviously, but it is, in my opinion, a direct result of pro-choice rhetoric, which a woman, my body, my choice, it's as if the man never existed. And the result of this is this untenable reality we have today, where if the woman chooses to keep the child, then the man is definitely on the hook, if she wants him to. But if she doesn't, then of course he doesn't have, he's not there. The reality of what I'm trying to say is that men become fathers in the pregnancy, women become mothers. There's no undo button on this. It is not fair to say women have open and free choice and then declare that the man doesn't. And what that's resulted in is a pretty bad situation for a lot of women and a rising rates of single mothers, because women choose to have the baby. At this point in our culture, it is completely her choice. And so men can walk away, and that's a legitimate reaction to a pregnancy that they didn't want. I don't think that's right, but I think it's a result of the pro-choice culture we live in.
I want to ask about that pro-choice culture, Katha, but it's interesting. This texter says, I'd like to answer that text. Men don't have a choice because men are not responsible for putting food, clothes, and a roof over the child's head. Actually, they are. But what's your response to the issue of men having no rights on the issue if the man wants a child, no say? If he doesn't want the child, no say, but he does have the responsibility. What's your answer to that, Katha?
Well, the pregnancy and childbirth are events taking place in the woman's body, and they present physical dangers to women. Women die, women are injured, women suffer in all kinds of ways from pregnancy and childbirth, and I don't think that she is a container for a man's baby, and that he gets to say, you have to undergo all that because that's my sperm in there. I would say child support is a different issue that we can all talk about when there are great methods of birth control for everybody. Right now, I think that he is actually not responsible for putting all the, you know, roof and all the rest on a child, because that would be 50% of the cost of raising a child, and very few men pay 50% of the cost of raising a child. Now, interestingly, if a man has, would, according to your caller, if a man has a right to force a woman to bear a child because it's biologically his, does he have a right to force her to have an abortion because he doesn't want her to pay pay child support? I mean, how much control are we giving men here? I would say we shouldn't give them control. And someday, maybe someday, a man who didn't want to have a baby with a woman and she has the baby anyway, there would be another way of caring for that child, and he wouldn't have to pay child support. So all men, I think, who feel this way ought to be in favor of, you know, massive government support for single mothers. And pro-lifers should be especially in favor of that, because they want that woman to have the baby.
All right.
At least, okay, sorry.
Thank you.
Well, that's my answer.
Thanks for the answer. We've run out of time, unfortunately. Thank you to both of you, Katha Pollitt, the book Pro Reclaiming Abortion Rights, and Andrew Mrozek, Executive Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. You're listening to the Tommy Schneermacher Show on CJAD.
News Talk Radio, CJAD 800, CJAD.com.